Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD, Youngest Students Show Double-Digit Percentage Growth, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD kindergarten and first grade students showed double-digit percentage growth this year, according to results presented to the school board Monday evening. The district reported in agenda documents that 50% of students in kindergarten began the 2020-21 school year reading on or above grade level. By April, that percentage had risen to 61%, an increase of 11 percentage points. First grade students began the year with 46% reading on or above grade level. By April, 58% of first grade students were reading on or above grade level, an increase of 12%. The results were reported as goal progress measures 1.2 and 1.3, respectively. The GPMs are part of the district's Lone Star governance reporting process. GPM 1.2 states that the percentage of kindergarten students on track to read at grade level or above will increase to 69% by August 2023. GPM 1.3 states the percentage of first grade students on track to read at grade level or above will increase to 71% by August 2023. The district showed that while both GPMs are likely to fall behind progress measurements for this year, growth trends show MISD blowing out goals set for 2023. Current growth patterns, according to MISD, show 83% of kindergartners reading on or above grade level by 2023. The board goal is 69%. Growth patterns also show 82% of first graders reading on or above grade level by 2023. The board goal is 71%. The highest performing school when it came to kindergarten students was Emerson, with 84% reading on or above grade level. Other students higher than 80% were Bowie and Bonham at 83% each. The schools with the greatest change in kindergarten from the beginning of the school year to April were Bonham, 37 percentage points, Franks, 32 points, Bush, 26 points, and Emerson, 23 points. 15 of 25 elementary schools show double-digit percentage improvement through April. The highest performing school when it came to first grade students was Carver, the district's gifted and talented campus, with 92% reading on or above grade level. Other schools at or above 70% were Bowie and Lamar, 75% each, and Fasken, 70%. The schools with the greatest change in first grade from the beginning of the school year to April were Lamar, 42 percentage points, Sam Houston, 40 points, Emerson, 38 points, South, 36 points, Burnett, 28 points, and Bush, 22 points. 11 of 26 elementary schools listed show double-digit percentage improvement through April. Next steps listed by MISD staff included acceleration through summer learning opportunities, equip administrators to be effective instructional leaders for literacy instruction, support administrators in developing effective master schedules with embedded intervention times outside of Tier 1 instruction. Support administrators in effective instructional rounds and calibrate across campuses to inform high-quality literacy instruction. Empower literacy strategists to provide daily and targeted support. Ensure teachers have understanding of literacy instruction and high-quality instruction. Prepare teachers to identify and appropriately intervene with struggling readers. Provide ongoing job-embedded professional development for teachers. This article is entitled, More Coffee Coming Soon. Small Bites. Black Rifle Coffee Company breaks ground by Alley Village. By J.C. Lewis. Business partners broke ground Thursday for a new coffee shop in Midland. Black Rifle Coffee Company will open sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas on the corner of North Big Spring Street and Fiesta Avenue, not far from Alley Village. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee. Partners James Grip, Brett Johnson, Michael Blomqvist, Sean Lobo, and Chris Blomqvist have been fans of the coffee company for a while. Black Rifle is based on veterans, law enforcement, first responders, and the founders are ex-military. But this is something I have been looking to do for a couple of years, Grip said. I think it's going to be special. We brought law enforcement out for the groundbreaking, and it will be nice to back the community. Grip, the CEO of Alley Outdoor in Alley Village, has been selling Black Rifle coffee products for 3 years. Alley Outdoors already sells bags of roasted coffee beans, coffee rounds for Keurig coffee makers, and more. Johnson said he also subscribes to Black Rifle Coffee Company's subscription service, which delivers to his door. Law enforcement and first responders understand the support that will come from this coffee shop, Grip said. It's unique compared to other coffee shops because it's veteran-owned. Grip has supported local law enforcement before. In 2019, he held a private concert at Alley Outdoors with Shield 616 that raised money to buy 90 Angel Armor vests for the Midland Police Department, he said. He said the coffee shop will also be a great opportunity to host events like Coffee with a Cop and other community-centered events. Grip said he hopes the community will rally around the coffee shop and that it will provide a new feature for the area. Architect Frank Richardson said the coffee shop will be about 3,000 square feet and have a drive-thru. He said the queuing line for the drive-thru won't be winding through the parking lot. Instead, it will have its own dedicated lane outside the parking lot, so the store will be able to queue about 20 cars without congesting the parking area. The coffee shop will have a shaded outdoor seating area, too. We have tried to incorporate an industrial, military vibe into the building using black metal panels and rustic wood that go along with the whole vibe of Black Rifle Coffee Company and the military, Richardson said. The company sells Thin Blue Line, Five Alarm, Vintage Roast, Silencer Smooth Roast, Gunship Roast, Space Beer, Power Llama Roast, Coffee or Die, Flying Elk Coffee, and CAF Roast. The company also works with partners such as Tunnel to Towers Foundation, Brotherhood for the Fallen, Echo Hill Ranch, and Foundation for Wildland Firefighters. Black Rifle Coffee Company imports high-quality coffee beans from Colombia and Brazil, then roasts 5 days a week at facilities in Manchester, Tennessee, and Salt Lake City, Utah. The company has coffee shops in the Texas cities of North Richland Hills, Burney, and San Antonio. More news. The Paletta Bar hosted a grand opening Saturday at 4200 Midland Drive, number 250. Crumble Cookie has announced a store will open in Midland in the Cornerstone Shopping Center at 4400 Midland Drive, number 501. The store hopes to open in June. This article is entitled, Stanford Doctoral Student Recalls His Beginnings at Early College High School at Midland College. Editor's note, this is the fourth and final in a series of Midland College profile articles about the remarkable students and alumni of Early College High School at Midland College. By Rebecca Bell, Midland College. The first time I flew on a plane, It was during my senior year at Early College High School at Midland College, Emery's Peach remembered. I wrote a paper on hyperfocus and the ADHD brain for an honors project in a Midland College psychology course. It was based on a study I had done with over 100 students, many of whom had been diagnosed with ADHD and others who had experienced ADHD symptoms. My professor encouraged me to submit the paper to the Great Plains Honors Conference, and it was accepted. We flew to South Padre Island, and I presented the paper at the conference. Since that time, Pete's has flown numerous times in relation to conducting research and presenting papers in nuclear and particle physics. Currently, he is pursuing a doctoral degree at Stanford University, conducting research on the detection of dark matter using linear particle accelerators. In May 2020, he graduated from the University of Texas at Austin with two bachelor degrees, one in mathematics and one in physics. As an undergraduate, he was awarded the university's highest recognition as a Dean's Honored Graduate, with a distinction in research and a distinction in service and leadership. Since graduating from Early College High School at Midland College in 2015, Pete's has conducted research in many fields, some of which include working with data from the NASA Mars Curiosity rover, to designing and overseeing fusion experiments at cutting-edge research laboratories such as Los Alamos National Laboratory, the Naval Research Laboratory in Washington, D.C., and the California Institute of Technology. It all started from my experiences at ECHS at MC, and for that, I am very grateful, Pete's explained. During my junior year at ECHS at MC, I signed up for the Midland College's Honors Program. In fact, I think I was the first ECHS student to ever be in the Honors Program. I was taking a Midland College chemistry class, and I remember having coffee with Dr. Tom Reddy, one of the chemistry professors. He encouraged me to join one of the Midland College research groups. So my first experience was at MC, where I would stay long hours on Thursday and Friday nights working to dope titanium dioxide with boron to measure photocatalytic output. This got me hooked on science and research. Pete's early life was spent in the foster care program due to his parents' substance abuse issues. Soon, his grandparents, Gwen and Al Pete's, intervened and raised him. Neither of his grandparents had a college education. In fact, Pete said his grandmother never got past junior high. But his grandfather knew the importance of a college education and encouraged Pete's to study hard and be a dedicated student from an early age. He attended Parker Elementary School and Abel Junior High. Like the majority of ECHS at MC students, when he graduated from high school, he also graduated from Midland College with an associate degree. He was ranked third in his high school graduating class at ECHS at MC. However, after obtaining his associate degree and high school diploma, Pete's did not immediately transfer to a university. I had an opportunity to participate in research dealing with theoretical engineering and chaos theory at Texas A&M University, Kingsville. So I did that for a while, and then worked at Midland College as a tutor in the math lab and in the dean's office, Pete said. I also worked at Museum of the Southwest and as a lifeguard. I guess I would classify that year after high school as my gap year. In January 2016, I applied to participate in a research project in nuclear physics at Los Alamos National Laboratory in northern New Mexico, and was shocked when I received the letter saying that I had been accepted. I have Midland College to thank for this incredible opportunity. I couldn't have applied without an associate degree. My work at Los Alamos led me to apply to and be accepted at UT Austin and the Dean's Scholars Honors Research Program. Pete's admitted that his first semester at the University of Texas was rough. However, by the time he graduated, his GPA was a 3.57. He financed his undergraduate studies with federal Pell Grants and student loans. Toward the end of his time at UT Austin, he received several scholarships and was a recipient of the University of Texas Physics Presidential Endowed Scholarship. His current doctoral studies at Stanford are fully financed with scholarships, and he receives a salary for his research work. Pete's is an avid skateboarder. He said that he has been skateboarding for the past 13 or 14 years. One of his new hobbies is playing chess, which he is learning with his girlfriend, Sophia Helpert, whom he met at the University of Texas. She has also been accepted into a doctoral program at Stanford and will be conducting research in the role of artificial intelligence in physics. In addition to exploring the West Coast, Pete and Helpert also enjoy playing with their Chihuahua Dachshund mix named Moose. "It will take me about 5.5 years to obtain my doctorate," Pete said. "After that, I'd like to get a postdoctoral position at a major research laboratory. My long-range goal is to teach and conduct research at a university. I would consider going back to Texas. In fact, one of the collaborators on the research project I'm currently conducting at Stanford is a professor at Texas Tech. We are the only group in the world doing work in this area of physics, so there are possibilities for expansion that I'd like to explore in the future. Even though I went to the high school at the same time that I was working on my associate degree, I very much identify as a Midland College alum. And every time one of my colleagues or classmates in Austin would mention MC courses, I would always respond with, 'Oh yeah, I went there,' and a smile. As a first-generation college student, I have been so lucky to have participated in the ECHS at MC and graduated with an associate degree. And I think that a lot of my success is due to the wonderful opportunities I was given at Midland College." Rebecca Bell is the Executive Director of Institutional Advancement at Midland College. This article is entitled "Grasslands 4 Development Along Highway 158 Gets Initial Zoning" by Mella McEwen. Development of 97 acres being annexed by the city took a first step forward Monday as the Planning and Zoning Commission approved an initial zoning request. Commissioners unanimously approved Grasslands 4 Limited's request for initial zoning of the 97 acres at Brandy Hill Road and State Highway 158 as SF1, Single Family Dwelling District, for 2 tracts and RR, Regional Retail District, for 2 additional tracts. Larry Walker, Vice President, Engineering with West Company of Midland, representing the property owners, said an annexation is expected to be complete next month. He added that the commercial development would front Wadley Avenue. 2 additional tracts would be dedicated to the City of Midland for extension of Wadley Avenue and for Jowl Draw. Commissioners also unanimously approved a preliminary plat of 9.92 acres at State Highway 349 and Tejas, as proposed by TSC Development. Property owner Louis Gergovich proposed relating the acreage into 4 lots in order to develop a shopping center. The acreage is currently zoned AE, Agricultural Estate, and Gergovich plans to ask for a rezone to PD, Proposed District, for a shopping center. Monica LeClaire's request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in an event center was also unanimously approved by commissioners. LeClaire sought the designation for Indulgence Catering at 4906 Briarwood Avenue. Indulgence not only operates a full-service catering company, but also Gloria's Diner, which serves lunch from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, as well as the event center. In her application for the designation, she said it would be used solely for private events held on the property, and the diner would be closed during those events. Private event hours and days vary depending on the occasion, but range from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. the following day, Sunday through Saturday. LeClaire proposed serving alcoholic beverages at the event center from 11 a.m. to midnight, Sunday through Saturday. This article is entitled, MISD Board Lifts Mask Mandate. Beginning May 24th, it will be optional for students, staff, and others to wear masks in class, on campuses, during graduation, and other MISD activities. By Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board voted 4-3 Monday night during its monthly meeting to lift the district's mask mandate. The board went against CDC guidelines and the recommendation of its staff, superintendent, and local health officials to call for a lifting of the mask mandate beginning on May 24th. At that point, a mask will become optional. That will include for school, field days, graduation, summer school, and the start of the 2021-22 school year. Voting to lift the mask mandate were Board President Murray, John Trischitti, Tommy Bishop, and Katie Joyner, who made the motion to lift the mandate. Michael Booker voted against the item, but wanted the mandate lifted immediately, not next week. Midland ISD had recommended that the status quo continue through at least the end of the school year because of the lack of vaccinated students and teachers in school. They also quoted Midland health leaders who wanted the mandate to remain in place to keep COVID-19 case numbers down inside the county. Those for lifting the mask mandate pointed to how no one in Midland is wearing masks out at restaurants, retail locations, or even the Midland Chamber of Commerce's State of Midland event. Other schools inside the county, including Greenwood ISD, had abandoned mask mandates previously. Some parents had stated during the public forum that it was time for students to see their teachers' faces and vice versa. It was stated that waiting until Monday gives Midland ISD staff and families time to prepare for the mandate being lifted. Also, board leaders supporting the mandate wanted as many students still coming to school this week, as testing is taking place. This is the obituary. Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Dean Lanier. Dean Lanier, age 86, of Voss, died Friday, May 14th at Hendrick Medical Center in Abilene with her family at her side. The family will host a visitation at 10 a.m., followed by a funeral service at 11 a.m., Wednesday, May 19th, at the Elm Street Church of Christ, 216 West Elm Street in Coleman. Lonnie Hamill, minister of Spring Creek Ministry, will officiate, and Bob Martin, minister of Elm Street Church of Christ, will assist. A graveside service will follow at 3 p.m. at the Evergreen Cemetery in Ranger. Services are entrusted to Stephen's Funeral Home in Coleman. She was born to Virgie Dean Halliday on August 11, 1934, in El Dorado, Oklahoma, to Tom Ed Halliday and Virginia Rosenbaum Halliday. Preceding Dean in death are her parents, Tom Ed Halliday and Virginia Halliday, and one brother, Ted Halliday. She is survived by her husband, O.G. Lanier of Voss, two sons, John Lanier of Midland and Joel Lanier, and wife Kim of Seminole, three grandchildren, and two sisters, Patsy Greer of Ranger and Edna Good of Idaho. Memorials are suggested in memory of Dean to the Spring Creek Ministries, 5109 82nd Street, Lubbock, 79424. The Rheumatoid Arthritis Foundation at www.arthritis.org, or to the Midland Christian School, 2001 Culver Drive, Midland, 79705. Remembrances, condolences, and messages of comfort can be expressed to the family at www.stephensfuneralhome.com. Stephen's Funeral Home is honored to serve the Lanier family. Donald Clifton Palmer. Donald Clifton Palmer, October 1st, 1932 to May 13th, 2021. Don left this life on Thursday afternoon, May 13th, at his home in Midland, Texas. He said that he thought it was time to go home, and so he did. He is preceded in death by his parents and brothers Wayne and Gerald. He is survived by his wife of 66 years, Pat Palmer, his daughter Kimberly Jones and husband Rick, his son Mark and his wife Susan, and his sister Lorreen Perkins, Ron. He also leaves behind 5 grandsons and 6 great-grandchildren. Memorial service will be at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 18th, at Life Unlimited Church, with Rick Jones officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Flowers may be sent to Sunset Memorial Gardens, or donations in honor of Don may be sent to Hospice of Midland. Mary Louise Ligenstoffer Lewis. Mary Louise Ligenstoffer Lewis, 90, of Richardson, Texas, passed away on Saturday, May 8th. Mary Lou was born January 14, 1931, in Kiowa, Kansas, to Homer and Agnes Ligenstoffer. She was the oldest of 3 children and is survived by her sister Vivian Reed of Enid, Oklahoma, and her brother John Ligenstoffer of Alva, Oklahoma. Mary Lou attended school in Kiowa, and then after 1 year of college, she married Wendell B. Lewis, who preceded her in death in 1992. In addition to her husband, she was also preceded in death by her son David. She is survived by her daughter, Homa Lee of Richardson, Texas, and son Randy Genia of Midland, Texas, as well as her daughter-in-law, Patty Bruce Lindsay of Woodstock, Georgia. Known as Gracky by her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she is survived by 7 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. She also loved being Aunt Lou to her many nieces and nephews. While she will be greatly missed by those left behind, we know she is happily reunited with her husband, son, and many other friends. Visitation took place on Monday, May 10th from 5 to 7 p.m., at Thomason Funeral Home in Wimberley, Texas. A graveside service took place Tuesday, May 11th at 10 a.m. at the Wimberley Cemetery. Arrangements were under the direction of Thomason Funeral Home. For more information and to sign the online registry, please visit thomasonfuneralhome.com. Death Notices. Jesse Dwight Connolly. Jesse Dwight Connolly, 72, of Odessa, passed away on May 5th in Odessa. Jesse was born on October 21st, 1948, to Glenn and Edna Fields in Hominy, Oklahoma. He is survived by 1 son, Patrick Connolly, Corina, 5 grandchildren, and 2 siblings. There are no services scheduled at this time. Seth Thomas Garrett. Seth Thomas Garrett, age 18, of Odessa, passed away May 13th. He is survived by his parents, Thomas and Kelly Garrett, of Odessa. Cremation services have been arranged, and the memorial will be held at a later date. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Garrett family at this time.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Board to consider salary increases. OA News at OAOA.com. To create a more competitive salary structure, Ector County ISD recently completed a Texas Association of School Boards salary study, and trustees will consider the recommendation at their 6 p.m. meeting today in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. COVID protocols are in place. TASB made recommendations for a general pay increase and targeted adjustments to better align our systems. Salaried employees would receive a 3% increase, while hourly employees will receive a 4% increase. Additionally, the hourly minimum pay will begin at $12. A one-time Invest in Talent stipend will be provided to all staff who are working on the first day of classes, August 10th. Supplemental agenda materials said the general pay increase and targeted adjustment recommendations will provide a more competitive salary structure when competing with other districts and the area markets for all positions. TASB will continue to provide yearly maintenance reviews to assist in aligning our systems to ensure we maintain a competitive and sound compensation plan, the material said. On a separate item, consideration and acceptance of the Chapter 313 Property Tax Valuation Limitation application will be presented. Acceptance of the application does not bind the district into entering a contract with the applicant, but provides the option to consider the application and potential future contract for a Chapter 313 agreement for property value limitation and revenue on Quail Run Carbon LLC, the material said. The Texas Comptroller's website said Tax Code Chapter 313 is an appraised value limitation agreement in which a taxpayer agrees to build or install property and create jobs in exchange for a 10-year limitation on the taxable property value for school district maintenance and operations tax purposes. The minimum limitation value varies by school district. Special presentations include recognition of executive directors for leadership Alicia Press and Roberto Cedillo being accepted to the National Superintendents Academy, recognition of the Scripps Regional Spelling Bee champion, announcement of Memorial Scholarship Awards, and introduction of the top 10 graduates. On the net, tinyurl.com/3drunct. Carry the Load West Coast Relay to Stop in Odessa by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. For 10 years now, Carry the Load has been on a mission to remember fallen military members and first responders. Since 2011, Carry the Load's mission to restore the true meaning of Memorial Day has grown into a national movement. Founded by U.S. Navy SEALs Clint Bruce and Stephen Holly, Carry the Load includes a national relay that reaches all 50 states, split up into separate sections. This year's West Coast Relay will once again make a stop in the Odessa Midland area. Carry the Load is about bringing awareness to Memorial Day and getting people to honor the true meaning of it, West Coast Relay manager Michael Golden said. It began in 2011 when a couple of Navy SEALs who lost some friends and they were disturbed by the way Memorial Day was handled, with the mattress sales and hamburgers and beers, but no respect for the fallen. They got together and put some backpacks together and some weights and started walking. An old fellow asked who they were carrying, and that's become what we're about. That original relay featured a 20-hour and 11-minute march that took place on Memorial Day 2011 in Dallas. Since then, a Midwest, West Coast, and East Coast route have been added, with each of them ending in Dallas. The West Coast Relay started on April 29th in Seattle. During that relay, the participants walked and cycled across the 4,600-mile journey, stopping and setting up tents at times to talk and hear people's stories about loved ones who have also served. The end of the relay is scheduled for May 30th. We set up at various spots, sometimes in mall parking lots, Golden said. We bring out our table that we have people sign, and as they walk and talk to us, we ask them if there's someone they'd like for us to carry and put that on a bib and dedicate a walking leg to them or a cycling leg. We do have people registered online so that we can provide them with more information to our website. It is 32 days for the West Coast. Golden says that right now they have a total of 10 people on their relay. We have 8 that are performing the function of carrying the load, and then we have 2 bus drivers, and they are an integral part of what we do, Golden said. This year's West Coast Relay will stop in Odessa on May 20th. The relay segments, we call them exchange points. We either walk or we cycle, so we'll stop at an exchange point, Golden said. Depending on what the COVID protocol is, we'll stop and say hello and share some stories, and after a set period of time, we'll take off from there and walk anywhere from 3 to 6 miles to the next exchange, which might be either a police station or a fire station or a mall parking lot. If we have longer distances to go, like across Arizona, and there's not very many urban places for us to stop at, so we'll be riding or walking most of the way. In the past, Carry the Load's West Coast Relay has usually stopped in Odessa. Golden says the plan for the exchange in Odessa is to stop at the Walmart Supercenter at 2450 Northwest Loop 338. They'll depart from there at 4 p.m. and head to the fire rescue on West 2nd Street before departing from there at 7 p.m. On Friday, Golden says they'll make a stop at the Legacy Harley-Davidson at 7 a.m. and leave from there. We'll be walking in Odessa from each one of those points, and we'd love to have people come out and walk with us, and we carry the American flag and the Carry the Load flag, Golden said. We hear people's stories when they walk with us, and we tell them ours. We try to keep people alive by keeping their stories going. Last year's relay was virtual due to the pandemic. Golden is thankful that they are able to resume to a slightly normal relay this year. It's going great, Golden said. We're not really post-COVID, so we were uncertain about what our turnout would be, but it's been really good. We've had a lot of people turn out. A lot of people that we've worked with in previous years are here, and we will walk with them and talk with them and share the stories about our friends and people that we've known who are fallen. The weather so far has not been an issue. I got to tell you, I'm from Fort Worth, but it's been incredible weather, Golden said. It's been cool. There's been a very little rain. We had a little bit of drizzle in Portland. It's starting to get hot in Palm Springs, and we expected that. But back home in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's been 60 degrees and raining from what I understand, so we've been blessed with the weather we have. This year, people can participate in the 32-day event in person or virtually. They can come out to cheer the relay team or join them by walking. We're embracing a hybrid for our participation this year, communications lead for West Coast Relay, Megan Heathcott, said. So we're happy to be here in person. We understand that not everyone can be here, so we also do live updates on our social media platforms and have guest speakers available that we share on our social media. Michael Garlock from St. Louis, Missouri, is one of the participants on this year's relay. I was signed up to be on a relay last year, but unfortunately, with COVID and everything, we had to go virtual, Garlock said. It's been awesome to be back on the road this year. It's been different than years past because of guidelines and making sure that everyone is safe, but it's been a breath of fresh air, and it's a positive cause. it's been nice to see the support that we're getting. On the net, TINYURL.com/529E2KAR. 472 days. For 472 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 17,328 total cases, 373 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 1 student, 0 staff. Midland County, 17,541 total cases, 269 deaths. Texas, 2,934,715 total cases, 51,193 deaths. U.S. cases, 33,742,108 total confirmed, and 600,494 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at TINYURL.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at TINYURL.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Quick hits. Permian Basin Gives. Today, Permian Basin Gives is a one-day event encouraging area residents to create meaningful impact through the nonprofits that serve our communities. Donate at permianbasingives.org. COVID-19 vaccine clinics. The Texas Army National Guard will be conducting COVID-19 vaccination clinics this month on the following dates and locations, starting at 8 a.m. until they run out. Wednesday, J&J and Moderna, Westminster Presbyterian Church, 4901 Maple Avenue. Sunday, J&J and Moderna, Westminster Presbyterian Church, 4901 Maple Avenue. May 27th, J&J and Moderna, St. James Missionary Baptist Church, 2212 East 11th Street. Annual fundraiser, Big Shot for CASA Clay Shoot, will take place from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at Jake's Clay's, 13301 Farm Road 1379, Midland. Breakfast and lunch provided. For more information, call 432-498-4174. Visit TINYURL.com/ZAFK48JF or www.casa-pba.org. From staff reports. Closing prices. Posted, $62.75. Futures, $66.27. Natural gas, $3.109. Benchmark U.S. increased 90 cents to $66.27 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Local News Roundup. Production. The UTPB Vocal Ensemble will present Into the Wood at 8 p.m. Sunday at UTPB Mesa Building Courtyard. Tickets are $15. For tickets, visit utpb.edu/MUSIC music. WNPAC sets performances. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center has several upcoming performances scheduled. Along with a variety of local dance recitals and graduations are scheduled. Visit https://www.wagnernoel.com/ for more information. Saturday, the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale presents E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert. Sunday, Nuestro Legado, Our Legacy 2021 recital will be presented by the Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland, featuring local talent. June 13th, The 100, A Night of Worship with Albert Hall and Friends, local talent performance. June 19th, Cedric the Entertainer. Recently announced shows include Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, the Grand Reopening Tour, November 24th. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. Friday at wagnernoel.com. From Staff Reports. Odessa City Council to discuss $8.3 million animal shelter by Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council will discuss whether to award an $8,308,472 contract to Onyx Contractors to oversee construction of a new city animal shelter during Council's virtual Tuesday work session. If Council approves the project, construction could begin later this year and be completed within 1 year. Police Chief Michael Gerke said. The current facility is too small and is not equipped to provide the care needed. The current facility was built as a pound over 30 years ago, said Gerke, whose department oversees shelter operations. It was built to house dogs and cats for 2 or 3 days, and then they were euthanized. But things have changed. We're asking for a facility that's more conducive to adopting. The proposed new 20,538-square-foot facility, which will be constructed just east of the current shelter, would be paid for with funds from Certificate of Obligation bonds that the Council approved in 2019, according to city documents. The $10 million earmarked for the new animal shelter was part of an overall $93 million bond that is being used for other projects also. Councilwoman Deidre White recently said the new shelter is long overdue and very much needed. White was one of 6 council members who voted in favor of using Certificate of Obligation bond dollars to pay for the project 2 years ago. The current outdated facility has many problems besides its small size, White said. The facility is plagued with ongoing plumbing problems and lacks an adequate cooling system, which makes the shelter very hot and humid most of the year. I know we're talking about a lot of money, White said, but we're not talking about building a Taj Mahal for dogs and cats. We're talking about building a new shelter that has more room, that's animal and people friendly, and promotes adoption. Because of the current shelter's limited space, many dogs and cats that arrive have to be euthanized immediately because there isn't space to keep them separated from the rest of the animals, White said. The new facility would have a room where veterinarians can perform surgeries, including spaying and neutering, Gerke said. Gerke on Tuesday will also review with council city crime statistics for 2020-21. On the net, tinyurl.com/WFXHT4R9. OPD asks for help. The Odessa Police Department is asking for the public's help to locate a wanted subject. On May 16th, at approximately 9 p.m., Odessa Police responded to the 2000 block of East 7th Street in reference to a welfare check. Odessa Police later located a deceased male identified as 24-year-old Jacob Ledward. Next of kin have been notified, a news release said. Clara Jasmine Ledward, 29, is wanted in connection to this investigation. Anyone with information in reference to her whereabouts is encouraged to contact the Odessa Police Department at 432-333-3641 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS tips. A photo may be seen at tinyurl.com/UNDKJ6K. United Supermarket Hit and Run. At about 7 p.m. May 14th, a hit and run reportedly occurred in the United Supermarket parking lot located at 1350 East 8th Street. A news release said investigation revealed that the driver of an orange and white Dodge Ram with a dog in the bed struck a red Dodge Ram and left the scene without meeting necessary legal requirements. Anyone who recognizes the vehicle shown in the photo is encouraged to contact Hit and Run investigator T. Yelly at 432-335-5759 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, T-I-P-S, and reference case number 21-000-7811. A photo of the pickup truck can be seen at tinyurl.com/HZ3T2JPM. OANews@OAOA.com. Youth COVID Vaccines Available in Odessa by Federico Martinez. FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. Pfizer COVID-19 vaccinations for youths 12 to 15 years old are now available at a handful of locations in Odessa, including Medical Center Hospital Urgent Care Clinics at JBS Parkway and on 42nd Street, MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin said. MCH began offering the vaccinations last week after the Texas Expert Vaccine Panel approved the measure. We stocked up on the vaccine in anticipation of the approval and began providing the vaccine last week, Tippin said. The vaccinations are available on a walk-in basis, but youths must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. There is no cost to get the Pfizer vaccine at MCH Urgent Care Centers, Tippin said. According to the Texas Department of State Health Services website, tinyurl.com/EPHH6N7D, other Odessa locations that have reported having the Pfizer vaccine available include CVS Pharmacy, 3050 West University Boulevard, Odessa Regional Medical Center, the Ector County Health Department, Market Street Pharmacy, and United Pharmacy. DSHS recommends contacting hospitals clinics and pharmacies in advance to make sure they still have the Pfizer vaccine in stock and whether an appointment is required. The CDC reported that there were no COVID-related deaths reported in the state of Texas on Sunday, said Tippin, who called the news a major accomplishment for Texas. On the net, tinyurl.com/EPHH6N7D. Ready to take next step, photos by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Top, Permian High School's Javen Contreras, right, signs a letter of intent to Texas Tech University during a symbolic letter of intent signing ceremony for band and orchestra students Monday evening at Permian High School. Above left, Permian High School students sign letters of intent to University of Texas Permian Basin during a symbolic letter of intent signing ceremony for band and orchestra students Monday evening at Permian High School. Above right, a banner that states Permian High School's class of 2021 earned a combined scholarship amount of $281,530 hangs on a whiteboard during a symbolic letter of intent signing ceremony for band and orchestra students Monday evening at Permian High School. UTPB offers summer camps. OA News at OAOA.com. The University of Texas Permian Basin will be offering a variety of summer camps to the community this summer, from sports, music, and art to engineering. The camps will be offered at an affordable price, which will allow the community to engage young people in activities that keep their mind and bodies active, while also providing an opportunity to experience the great things UT Permian Basin has to offer, a news release said. Camps and other youth programs make a big difference in the lives of families, said Dr. Becky Spurlock, UTPB's Vice President of Student Affairs and Leadership. As a working parent of two children, I know how hard it can be to find activities to support my kids and keep them busy during the summer months. Plus, time spent on a college campus is fun and sets the tone for being a lifelong learner. Participating in a variety of different summer camps also allows students to see what they might be interested in. A full list of camps, including days, times, cost, and how to register can be found online by visiting utpb.edu/summercamps. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Death Notices. Donald Clifton Palmer, Midland. Donald Clifton Palmer, 88, of Midland, died Thursday, May 13, 2021, in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m., May 18, 2021, at Life Unlimited Church. Rick Jones is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Eufemio Alcantar, Odessa. Eufemio Alcantar, 90, died Wednesday, May 12, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Pauline Freeman Brooks, Odessa. Pauline Freeman Brooks, 76, died Friday, May 14, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Samuel Lujan, Odessa. Samuel Lujan, 68, of Odessa, Texas, died Tuesday, May 11, 2021, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m., May 20th, 2021, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Father Bush is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa, Texas. Reiner Gardea Renee Morales, Odessa. Reiner Gardea Renee Morales, 63, of Odessa, died Friday, May 14, 2021, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.